fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies leaves us in absolutely no doubt at all that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Prophecy was fulfilled. And then the final thing, and we're under the heading here of Christ raised, the final thing is that resurrection is a fact. Verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. I made much of this in the first message when we were looking at the promise. The fact that when we place our confidence in what's written about Jesus, it's not made up stories and myths and legends. We are reading eyewitness accounts. The people who wrote these things saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. They heard him. They touched him. They ate with him. They walked about with him. They saw him over and over again. They were eyewitnesses, not of the actual event of him coming out of the tomb. No one saw that. But they saw him on the day he rose from the dead. And then for 40 days, they saw him come and go. They heard him. It's a fact. And don't ever forget that. It's one of my favorite things that I say to you very often, that Christianity is not based just on beliefs. Beliefs are very important. Let's not mistake that. Beliefs are very, very important. But Christianity is based on historically verifiable facts. Eyewitness testimony from countless people who saw him after he rose from the dead. So, that's the second aspect of his message. Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ raised. But we can't leave it there. Yeah, he was raised from the dead, but what happened to him then? Did he just settle down in a seaside retreat by the Sea of Galilee and live out his retirement and then just die again or disappear? No, absolutely not. And at the beginning of the book of Acts, we have the amazing description of Christ's ascension into heaven, where he visibly ascended in the sight of the 11 apostles that he had chosen. They were watching him, just open mouth, slack jaw, just like, there he goes. But where did he go? Well, he went back to be with his Father in heaven. And the word that's used here in verse 33, he didn't just ascend in the sense of going back from earth to heaven. He was exalted. And Christ is now exalted to the right hand of the Father. And I think when we think about where Jesus is, I think we often kind of visualize in our minds, you know, kind of incidents from the Gospels. And we almost imagine that he's kind of still there somewhere and walking the dusty roads. He's not there. And Peter says here quite clearly where he is, exalted to the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? Well, that is the place of power. Of course it's the place of power. And that's why Jesus could say when he was giving the commission to his apostles, all power or all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, therefore go. And how could he say that? They would be like, well, what does it mean for us? It's all power is given to me. I am in the place of power. I am in the place of authority. You are going with my authority. You're going with the power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you. Go. So it's the place of power. He's exalted to the right hand of God. And then he says he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. So it's a place of power. It's also the place of promise. But the Father promised to the Son the Spirit. The Son promised to the apostles the Spirit. Spirit came and the Spirit has been given to all believers subsequently. Received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. It's the place of promise. He has poured out what you now see and hear. It's the place of power. It's the place of promise. It's the place of pouring out. Perhaps some of you will remember when we were looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that phrase, poured out, occurs several times. And it tells us that God has not dispensed His Holy Spirit using an eyedropper. And if you know what an eyedropper is, know how to use it, where you kind of squeeze a little rubber bulb on the end and pull up a few drips. It's not like God dispensed it. Just drip, drip, drip dispenses his Holy Spirit. He pours out his Spirit, so his Spirit is abundantly available to all believers to equip us for service in his kingdom. So it's a place of pouring out. And then finally, verse 34, Peter quotes this time from another psalm, Psalm 110, where there David has written these words, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." I think we sometimes think that the Lord Jesus Christ is somewhere up in heaven just now, and he's just waiting. They're just like sitting, waiting, just not doing very much. He's waiting for the time when he will reign in the future. But that's not the way it's portrayed here. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And the Apostle Paul takes up this in Philippians 2, where he says that because the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself, went to the cross, died, God has highly exalted him. He is in that place of power and authority just now where he is reigning. And the time will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He's now in the place of preeminence, reigning. Who's in charge of the universe? Well, sometime this afternoon, have a look at the opening chapters of Colossians, and you'll find out who's in charge of the universe. It's our Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father. So, we've got three elements there of the contents of Peter's message. Christ crucified, Christ raised, Christ exalted. But like a good preacher, Peter gets to the point of driving the message home to his hearers. Verse 36, this is Peter's summary sentence, and what I've given, the title I've given to this section is Jesus Christ, the Complete Savior. Verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, Lord and Christ, Lord and Messiah,